You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Who knows? Maybe someday when you pick up a bag or can of pet food, you may see a photo of a lost pet, like the ones of children on the back of milk cartons. In the past, when your beloved four-legged member of the family wandered away from home, a pet parent could plaster telephone poles with posters, call the local shelters, drive around the neighborhood, peering under cars and bushes, and crossing their paws that they would be reunited with their errant pooch or puss. But thanks to facial recognition technology, a photo and your smartphone can reunite pets and parents. I'll be speaking today with John Palomino, heart and brains behind Finding Rover. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our chicken rolled food as a meal or shredded as a topper.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
John, thank you for being with us. This is something that
is mind-boggling. Oh, thank you. You know, it's crazy the way it, well, we'll probably talk about it on the air, how I came up with this crazy idea.
Well, tell us how you came up with this crazy idea.
Well, basically, I was sitting in the coffee shop about 3.5 years ago with my wife. I just retired and sold my company. And I saw a lost dog poster, and it just brought back all these terrible memories of this dog, Harley, that we had lost. Kids in the backseat crying, driving all over town, putting up posters. We lived in a gated community, so dog didn't have a chip, didn't have a collar. Luckily, 3 days later, we found him. A neighbor knew a neighbor who had picked him up and had him at his house. But I looked at my wife and I said, do you remember when we lost Harley? God, there must be a better way. And it just kind of clicked in my head. I said, you know, if they could identify people with facial recognition, wouldn't it be cool if you could identify an animal, a pet? And my wife looked at me and she goes, that's what you need to do with the rest of your life. That's an amazing idea. Do it. Make it happen. And I said, you're kidding, right? She goes, no.
Because you just retired, you're going to drive her crazy if you didn't have another job.
Yeah, I didn't have another job. And she said, this is what you need to do. And then that's how it started. And I started doing my research with facial recognition companies, called them. And then fortuitously, one of my old web designers from my old company called to congratulate me on my retirement. And I said, well, now I think I'm going to try to find lost pets using facial recognition. And he said, you need to talk to the people at the University of Utah. their software development center and their graphic imaging department, they're amazing. So I looked at my wife after the phone call. I said, okay, this is your idea. I'm going to call them. If they want to talk to us, we're going to drive to Utah from Northern California. And that's what we did. And we met with the director, told him what we were trying to do. He said it's difficult. Animals are much more difficult to identify than humans, but he would get back to me. And a week later, he called and he said, if you'll fund a study, we'll put two of our best PhDs on it, and we'll do a research study for a year. And they did, and a year later, we can identify any cat or any dog with 98% accuracy with a photo. It's pretty amazing.
I find it, there are times I'll have a day where four or five golden retrievers walk through the door, and it's like, oh, make sure you put name tags on all of these animals, because this one looks like that one, which looks like that one. Before we get into that, I just have to ask the background. So you sold your company. Yeah. Were you into facial technology, IT? Was your background in this type of science?
Nope. I was in manufacturing and construction. My background was Excel spreadsheets and looking at our website and so forth. But I was good at putting people together. You know, we had a good sized company. We had close to 400 employees. So I was good at, you know, managing, putting together teams, and that's what I did. I found the brightest, youngest, brightest people on the project, and we put them together, and we made it work. And that's why I'm so proud of the team, because when we talked to companies that did facial recognition for humans, they all said the same thing. Animals are much more difficult. It's counterintuitive, but the more similar a face looks, the easier it is to distinguish. So our, you know, people have noses in the same spots, ears, eyes, mouths. Think of a dog, a long nose, a short nose, tall ears, short ears, shaggy face. It's more difficult. But the technology that we use has no idea it's an animal. And to your point that, you know, five goldens walked into your office, the technology has no idea it's a dog. We take over 128 spots around the face, including areas in the nose, in the eyes, around the face, and we take about 128 spots. And with that, we're able to do an analysis to say, you know, that's the dog right there. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes I can't tell the difference when I'm looking at him, but you know, our technology says that's the one, and it is. It's pretty cool.
This finding rover, you're saying, okay, they look so similar. And then I think, all right, we have a Shih Tzu, and this little Shih Tzu mm-hmm. has been out on the road for a week. It's been through the mm-hmm. brambly bushes. Its hair is all matted. It's dirty. It's hanging in its face. And typically, this little Shih Tzu is just that pristine, gorgeous, just groomed, fabulous show dog. And now it looks like a ragamuffin. And the owner sometimes goes, that's my dog. Doesn't look like my dog. Mm-hmm. But your technology can still determine this is the same dog?
Absolutely. But here's how it works. It'll do it in order of likeliness. So let's say that there are two Shih Tzus that are lost, and one is groomed and so forth and so on. That may come up in the number one spot, and your scraggly one that's matted hair and everything may come up in number two or number three, because they come up in order of likeliness. But if you think about it, you know, let's say in a 10 to 20 to 30 mile area, how many lost dogs can there be? You know, there's not going to be 200 or 300 of them. Uh-huh. But so yours will come up, even if it had long hair and now it's been shaved, it'll still come up in the top 2, 3, 4, or 5. And remember, we'll show them all to you in order of likeliness. We'll show you the one that's most likely your dog to the one that's not your dog. So we show them all in order of likeliness. And we did that purposely just because of that. Because if the poor animal's been out for a while, hasn't eaten, and so forth, we don't want the technology to say, hey, only if it looks exactly like this. We want to show them all in likeliness. So we actually designed the technology to do it that way.
The quality of the photo and the age of the pet. Some people have, you know, they love their pet and they take constant photos. You know, every month there's, you know, five more postings of Fifi on their Facebook page. And some people, you know, I took it as a puppy and I just haven't updated it recently. I see it every day. Why do I need to take a picture? How current does that photo need to be?
Okay, so when you register your pet, remember, we want you to register your pet before it's lost. The technology is not designed to, when you lose your pet, you go try to find a photo. It's designed to, you download the app, You take a photo, use the bark button. We have a little cute little bark button that your phone squeals like a puppy, so the dog will look straight at the camera.
And sneaky, very good.
So when you put the information, we'll ask the age of the dog. If the dog is under 18 months old, then every 90 days, the app alerts you to take a new picture, every 90 days, until they're 18 months old. And then once they're 18 months old, then it'll alert you once a year. It'll say, hey, let's take a new picture of Sparky. But as long as it's under 18 months, every 90 days, you're alerted. Every time you go into the app, it'll say, time to take a new picture of Sparky.
All right, and it's called Finding Rover. Most cats aren't called Rover, and you did mention it does cats. So this is an app for cats and dogs.
Well, we also own the URL Finding Kitty. We could always do cats, but we wanted to start with dogs because it is a complicated technology. Our feeling was, let's work out the bugs because, you know, we're only about 18 months old. So we wanted to work out the technology with the dogs first, and then we would add cats. We're actually going to be adding cats right around. You'll be able to upload a picture of your cat sometime by the end of September, beginning of October. And we've been, you know, in the company, we've been saying, you know, should we do it as a Finding Kitty app or keep it all in Finding Rover? I think we're going to keep it all under Finding Rover, but Rover is going to get a friend called Fluffy.
I like that. Very good.
We're going to
because our kitties get lost.
We'll keep it all in one app. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we want to keep it all in one app because, you know, some people have dogs and have cats, and it's easier to have all your pets in one spot.
And John, some people have birds, very expensive birds that sometimes, oops, fly away. Any chance of you're going to expand into birds or horses or other species?
I was just in Florida doing Clear the Shelter event with NBC. And while I was there, a gentleman asked me about horses because he said horse wrestling is a big problem, people stealing horses. And we can do that. But to be honest, our goal is 100 million dogs and cats worldwide in the next 5 years. So we're really concentrating our efforts on our companion animals, on dogs and cats. In the future, absolutely. As I said, the technology doesn't know it's a dog. It doesn't know it's a cat. Now, for a bird or a horse, we'd have to, you know, change the algorithms a little bit for those animals. But absolutely, we could do that in the future.
I just keep thinking of, I think we've all watched TV and seen CSI or some of the other cop shows, and they'll have a face and they'll run it through their technology and then poof, you find this person. And the thought that you can do this, and you keep saying app, so all I need is a smartphone.
Yeah, we're actually, I believe, in either an iPhone or an Android. So the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, if you just type Finding Rover or just Lost Dog, we're the number one app in both those stores for lost pets. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can just go to findingrover.com, you know, register your pet by uploading a photo. Now, that won't give you the ability to find somebody else's pet if you're walking in the park and you see a lost pet, but it'll allow all of us who have smartphones to find yours. And then the other thing that I tell everybody, you don't need to own one to save one. So because the technology is free, we don't charge anything for it. We don't sell anything. We don't charge you for the searches. We want everybody to have this app. So if you're walking in the park or you're on a road and you see a lost pet, you could just reach in your pocket, your purse, grab your phone, hit the bark button, or in a month, the meow button, and take a picture and save that animal. You don't need to own one to save one.
So what's a network? You have somebody who's walking the park, sees a pet, has that app, the Finding Rover app, on their smartphone. They take a picture. So that's a person. Who else is involved in this network? Because in order for it to work, it seems like it's going to have to touch so many different areas, shelters, veterinarians. Who's part of this? How do you become a part?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what's really exciting. We started our shelter initiative about 9 months ago. We've already reunited over 700 animals. So what happens now? We currently have 130 shelters nationwide on board, and we are adding about 4 a week. So as an example, San Diego was the first, which is wonderful. All 5 of their shelters are on board with Finding Rover. When an animal goes into a shelter, they take a picture. The shelters take a picture. Now what happens, every hour, they push those pictures to Finding Rover. And so if you lose your pet, instead of having to drive to each of the shelters and walking every kennel, as soon as you report your pet lost, we do a facial recognition search against everybody in the area that's found the pet and every pet in all the shelters. So now you can check every shelter in a matter of seconds to see if your pet's there. And What's even more important, let's say that you walk the shelter and your dog has not been picked up yet. Let's say you walk in, you know, you lost your dog, you go to a shelter, you walk all the kennels, not picked up yet. What are the odds of you going back every day to that shelter to see if your dogs are picked up? Very small, but with Finding Rover, it's a thing of the past, because as soon as the animal's in, it's registered and a facial recognition match is done. And if it's picked up by the shelter, you're alerted instantly because every animal coming into the shelter is considered a found animal. So all found animals are checked against lost. All lost animals are checked against found. And so that's the beauty. We just had another reunion in Miami. We just had one in Ohio. We just had another one in San Diego. And it's wonderful because we're letting this technology work for us to protect our best friends.
I know you retired from a very successful business, but this doesn't seem to be very smart of you to have a free service. It's marvelous, but your accountant must be going, oh my goodness, you're spending all this money and people must be loving you because you're bringing back their furry members of the family.
Right. And so the model is it's an advertising in-app model. So in other words, when you open Finding Rover, there's other things, you know, there's cute pics, there's other things that you can look at in Finding Rover. And you may see an ad for a dog food. You may see an ad for cat food. You may see an ad for a collar. There will always be pet-centric ads in Finding Rover, and that's what's going to support it. We're never going to send you an email. We're never going to try to sell you a barbecue or a trip to Hawaii. That's not what this is all about. This is about saving your pet. So we'll be able to support it through our sponsors in the pet industry. You know, right now we're being actually inundated by companies that want to sponsor in Finding Rover. But at this point, we're still not doing it. We're not even showing any ads. Maybe sometime next year we might start showing it. But we want to get to, you know, close to 1 million pets. Right now we're just pushing, I think, close to 120,000, and it's growing every single day.
So Finding Rover is just an awesome, high-tech way of being reunited with your lost dog and soon with your lost cat. But it seems like now you have all of these animals who are being, you have access to their photos and they're in shelters and you're trying to empty shelters. How about if I don't have a lost pet, but I really want one? Can I use Finding Rover to find a new pet?
Absolutely. And you can actually use our facial recognition technology to do it. It's pretty exciting. That's coming out here soon. So you can put a picture of the type of pet that you're looking for. We will scan every shelter in the area and we'll show you everyone that looks like that that's up for adoption for you to go pick them up. And that'll be coming out next month too.
Because there are some people, you know, they've had a dog that looks almost, you know, Fluffy 1 looks like Fluffy 2, which looks like Fluffy 3, and now they're looking for Fluffy 4. This would be a great way of doing that.
Absolutely. Well, sometimes, you know, you don't know what the breed is. You don't know. You know, you just think it's a cute animal. It's a cute cat or a cute dog, and you're looking for something that looks like that. So we're using our facial recognition technology also for adoptable animals. Our goal is to get our furry friends out of these shelters and into loving homes. And that's a lost pet or one that, you know, we want adopted. That's the goal of Finding Rover.
John, this seems a wonderful service. Thank you very much for bringing it to this technology, to the pet caring arena. It's something that's been needed. It's great. Now I can see adding this along with, okay, we have Finding Rover, but really pushing and making people aware they still need to wear a collar. They should probably still have a microchip. And oh yes, get pet insurance, because all of that can impact whether or not your animal is able to get home.
Every time I speak to anyone, I say, look, we want you to do everything. We want you to put a collar with a tag. We want you to chip. But the beauty of Finding Rover, the really exciting thing about Finding Rover, you're here in the LA area, correct? You're down
correct.
In Southern California, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many people in the greater LA area, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, right?
Lots.
How many of those people, how many of those people carry chip readers in their car or their pocket?
I know.
Zero. How many of them carry cell phones? That's
yes,
the beauty
we
of
are a technology.
Rover. It empowers every person. It empowers every one of us to be able to save an animal by just taking a photo. You don't have to pick up the animal, put it in your car, drive it to a vet, you know, drive it to a shelter. We want you to. I want you to. But it's, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people won't go to that trouble to save these pets. Well, now, you know, just take a picture. You can at least do that, and we can save these pets. So now we're empowering millions of people to save pets by taking pictures. That's what gets me excited every day.
And I can hear it in your voice. I've had the pleasure now speaking with John Palomino. He's the heart and brains and passion behind Finding Rover. Want to learn more about it? John, where should they go? Where can they learn more about Finding Rover?
just go to findingrover.com, or you can go to the Apple Store and just type Finding Rover, or to Google Play. And thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this guy that really just wants to save animals. By the way, I was an only child, and my best friend was my dog. So this is a way for me to give back.
I love it. Pay it forward. That is good. So we've been chatting right now with John Palomino, the founder of Finding Rover. So soon he'll be Finding Rover and Finding Fluffy. Thank you so much for listening. If you do find a pet that's lost, take a picture. You never know. It may be already in the system. If not, at least maybe somebody else can help identify it. Always make sure your pet has identification, has a microchip, has a collar, and have pet insurance. That's so important too. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz of The Pet Doctor. Please listen again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner and hopefully save a pet. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.